All right, welcome to Digital Creator. My name is Dylan Schmidt. I'm fired up today. I'll be honest, I got some powerful topics and I'm super glad and grateful I get to do it in this format because I'll tell you what, these topics do not lend themselves well for short form videos, at least how I do short form videos. And you know me, I've been doing short form videos for, I don't know, just like 1,000 videos now, but you know, I've got it pretty dialed in the process and you can pretty much share like one main idea, in my opinion, best in short form videos. Just that's kind of how the platform allows. And I could make these podcast episodes for Digital Creator much shorter. You know, I have in the past like 5-minute episodes. I don't know. It's just something about it just makes me like, not, it doesn't feel like enough in enough from what I want to give you in an episode. Being able to combine in an episode like 3 main ideas, I've really been enjoying. Now that I think about it, I don't know many shows that put 3 topics in, but I don't know. I feel like for my attention these days, if it's not going to take 20 minutes to talk about it, I don't want to just fill the air. And talking about 3 feels like good. 2 feels weird. I don't know, to me, if I just talk about 2, might work, but 3 over 20 minutes is, in my opinion, a good sweet spot. And I'll address it before we dive into these 3 topics, which I'll talk about in a second. Yes, you might have noticed I am making these podcast episodes exactly a number, 20 minutes on the dot. I'm a little bit of a weirdo. Yes, I know, especially around goals. I've been journaling for 4-something years now. I want to make YouTube videos that are a specific number. I want to make podcast episodes that are a specific number. I've even been considering making my newsletter an exact word count. And I don't make these episodes, you know, 20 minutes and 2 seconds or whatever, make it exactly 20 minutes. But the weird thing about that is it causes a little bit of anxiety around me because like, what if the milliseconds are like rounded and then it's actually like 1959? Like, oh no, I got to fix that. It's just a goal that I've set for myself. And to me, I really like the constraints around the number rather than just making it, you know, however long I want to make it. So the topics I want to talk about today, I'll give you a quick overview and then we'll dive in, of course, to each one. Number one is I have a marketing hack. I don't have many marketing hacks because that just sounds weird. Marketing hack. I got a marketing hack that is going to help you stay relevant and stay in the know and create relevant content for your community. And then number two, a simple way to approach optimizing your content. And then number three, I want to talk about audience growth and, I took this short course on AI repurposing and it somehow inspired me in a different way that I didn't expect. But I had a key takeaway, not even related to the course, outside of the course. It was just the course was a byproduct of me having this takeaway that I want to share with you around audience growth. So first up, let's talk about this marketing hack. What is a marketing hack anyways? It is something that hopefully shortens the time spent to achieve a certain result, right? Again, you know, I don't know. Marketing hack seems so weird. It feels a little bit dated. But here's a marketing hack you can use to stay in the loop. I think it was a couple weeks ago now. I talked about creating relevant content and relevancy is like so important because you can create evergreen content, which is always applicable, but there's power in more timely, relevant content for your community, for your audience, and for your platform. And it's exhausting trying to find relevant topics to always be talking about. Sometimes you can just do it effortlessly, but honestly, from what I've seen, it takes a lot of energy to stay on top of these things. Most likely, for given your topic that you cover, you find it somewhat easy to stay in the know, but you're never like totally sure if you're missing anything. And you also want to stay on top of like the pain points of your audience. Like, what are they going through? Now, if you're in the earlier phases of growing your platform, again, this could be especially difficult because you don't have much data to work with. So here's a little marketing hack. How many times will I say that this episode? To stay in the loop. It starts with identifying the top 5 to 10 influencers in your category. Who are the people that are your competitors or they're farther along than where you are? Maybe they got started earlier, whatever. They have a bigger platform than you do, but they're speaking to a good amount of a similar audience that you have. You know, in the fitness community, this you might serve people just getting into the gym or something for the first time. So it's like, all right, let's go online. Let's find who are the top, say, influencers or, you know, people that are making the biggest waves in that category. Next, sign up for their newsletter. They all have a free newsletter. It's just what you got these days, right? It's the best way. It's the smartest way. So sign up for their free newsletter. Get their free emails sent to your inbox. Now, the reason you don't just sign up for one and move on is because you want a larger sample size. You don't want to just go to one source. And as you start to get their email newsletters, you're not going to read the newsletters from the perspective that they're writing to, you know, their target audience, right? You're not looking to maybe get in the gym for the first time because you're already an expert in that area, if that was your category. You're looking for how they're marketing and what they're talking about specifically. So that could be like a new supplement that just popped on the market and they're talking about it and you didn't know about it. Well, now you know about it because they want to address it to their audience. And so you start noticing these trends of what they're doing, and not so that you can just jack their topics and ideas, more so you can see how they're talking to their audience because they're doing something that you're not, and what are the topics they're covering. If you notice that all of these, you know, influencers talked about a certain supplement, it's probably a good idea that you cover that supplement too, because you have enough data that shows there's people that are wanting this, right? So this is like the simplest way to find and gather topics in one place. Now, they might send a lot of emails. So I shared that Gmail hack, my memory, so many things floating around. I think I might have shared it on this podcast, but for sure I shared it on social media. And you can route all the emails to one inbox. So it's not blowing up your email inbox, but then you could just go in there once or twice a week on your time and then go through and like notice the trends that are happening. Trends, I think, should just be capitalized on, whether you're doing it explicitly, commenting on trends, or just looking for those trends internally to see, you know, where the market's headed, things like that. Trends are everything. Next, I want to talk about optimizing. So when we talk about optimizing, there's a lot. It's a never-ending loop, right? If you have been creating content and you consider yourself a solopreneur, entrepreneur, it's just a switch. I remember when I first started this podcast and building my own platform, which I'm still in the process of building it, but I very first got started, I was like, oh, I have a whole job now. I can take a break from this, but there'll never not be something to do. It still feels that way. There's never enough time to fully work on it. There's always something I could get help with. And this was like early on, I'm talking, not even these days, with running content clips and the Creator Club. There's just more ideas and more opportunity than what I could capitalize on. And instead of trying to change everything, it was like, what was the little things I could change? And I had a very real example that I can share of this just recently, just this week, which it's too small to say if it was the exact reason of this shift. But I was talking with a friend and client. I was sharing with him some findings that I was noticing across social media and different things, things that I've shared on this podcast before. He doesn't listen to this podcast, so, you know, he's a friend also. He should just listen to this podcast. But I was sharing with them like how I was uploading to Instagram. He's like, oh, do you ever post like natively? I'm like, no, but now that you say that, I'm going to try uploading to Instagram natively instead of using Metricool and just see what happens. Sure enough, a couple hours later, I'm like, you know what, let's just post it. And then I move on about my day. 24 hours later, I noticed an increase. And again, there could be multiple reasons due to that increase. I can't specifically say it's because of uploading it natively. But what I can say is it's these small tweaks, right? It was just the small tweak that I made of, I'm going to publish natively instead of using Metricool, my scheduling tool of choice. Now, again, was that the reason to attribute further reach of the post? Could be the topic, could be the time of day, could be the fact that I boosted a post from a couple weeks ago and that triggered something that made the algorithm push it out more. There's definitely like more things at play, which I'm going to keep playing with, uploading natively to see and not change any other variables. But I could have changed my whole Instagram strategy. And I could have been like, you know what? I'm not going to post the same videos I post everywhere else on Instagram because they don't seem to be doing that well on Instagram. Let's change up the whole Instagram strategy, which would be a dramatic change, right? I like to look at it like there's small tweaks you can make and there's big tweaks. And big tweaks often, like at its largest, is why you're uploading. Like, what's the even point of uploading? The purpose, the mission. And if you tweak that, it's kind of re-steering the whole ship, right? Now, small tweaks, I would look and I would label things like how you upload, what colors you use on the content that you're posting, how many hashtags you use. These little things that you're already doing as part of your process, but you just flip it. You know, it's not rerouting the whole ship. It's just, oh, let me click this button instead of that button. Those small tweaks sometimes can make big change happen, but they're not so big that it's like costing you a bunch more money or, you know, costing you a bunch more time in doing it. Hopefully, you know, it's just these small tweaks that result in a big outcome. And I think it's a crucial skill as content creators and business owners, for sure, identifying those small tweaks that you can make. It's an art in and of itself to get good at identifying those tweaks and what you can improve. And Tony Robbins talks about Can I, which stands for constant and never-ending improvement. I learned that many years ago, and I still live by it to this day, but I'm always looking to optimize things. I never want to be totally content with how I'm doing things and just be like, yep, that's good enough, I'm done. And I think when you do that, especially in a business, that's when things start sliding downhill. It's probably from somewhere, I just don't know who, but like, never are things just totally stagnant. Like, they're not just staying still. They're either growing or they're dying. And I believe the same is true for what we're putting out into the world or what we're not doing, right? And it's so easy to just get in this routine of like, oh, this is good enough. And there is a nuance to what I'm sharing here. It's like, there's a dance. You don't want to just burn yourself out because you're over delivering on these things. You want to have the systems and processes in place to support your vision, support your goals, but you also want to improve it. And part of improving things starts with tracking things. As you start to want to optimize and grow, like, what are those little variables? What are those things I can tweak that can result in a different outcome? And I'm putting together this variable cheat sheet in the Creator Club that's about identifying those variables that you can tweak, because it's tricky. Like, what can I change? And as I was making this sheet, I made it in Notion. As I was making this sheet, I'm like, oh my gosh, on every platform, there's so many variables. For example, if we look on just LinkedIn, I've listed 12 different topics of variables. And then within those are different things you can change. For example, content type. You could experiment with different content types: text-only posts, image posts, videos, articles, polls, documents. In those content types, like short posts, medium-length posts, long-form posts, hashtags, tagging, engagement prompts, tone and style, all of these are experiments you can run to identify what is working the best for you when you don't have anything working that great. And to clarify, like, you don't just constantly run these experiments. You run these experiments to find out what's working best. So if you were doing like a content type experiment, figuring out which works best for you, well, then you understand like, oh, text-only posts work best for me because that's what the data shows. Well, then you can double down on text-only posts. And then within text-only posts, you could start experimenting with different tones, a more formal tone, a conversational tone, incorporating storytelling elements, sharing personal experiences or opinions. Now, you might find doing a mix of them is what serves you and your audience best. Or you might find just doing one. People might just gravitate towards your storytelling. In that case, you don't have to bother with the formal or conversational or opinion tone. You know what I mean? And so while this may seem like overwhelming, we're talking about optimization because maybe you're like, Dylan, I'm already tired. The goal is to identify what's working and narrow in on it so intently that that's what grows. And that reminds me of another Tony Robbins quote: where you focus, energy flows. So once you identify that thing that's working, you don't need another strategy. You don't need to reinvent nothing. You just need to do what's working. So to recap this seemingly abstract kind of idea that I'm sharing with you, when you can optimize what's working, you'll win faster and you'll win bigger. Last thing I want to talk about is this concept of going wide and then small, or then small and then wide. This has to do with audience growth. I'm taking this course on using AI to repurpose content. I've repurposed thousands upon thousands of pieces of content, but just like the Tony Robbins quote, constant and never-ending improvement, I love learning, and I love learning on topics that I'm already well-versed on. And so I took this course from Rob Lennon and Erica Schneider, and it's like just a 90-minute course on AI and repurposing. And it's so deep. Like, the prompts I've not seen any prompts that are more detailed than what they give. But they talk about this concept of, especially with repurposing, and it makes so much sense, but you go wide, so you have a huge long form piece of content, and then you go small, you chop it up into little pieces. Same thing like with what I do for content clips, and I'm fired up about this idea because just got off the Creator Club and talking about it, which I schedule these podcast recordings right after the Creator Club, or a few hours actually after, but stays top of mind, is with building your audience. I really believe it is about going small and then wide. And most people that teach about building an audience, they talk about like this audience hacking or, you know, growth hacking or whatever. And they talk about audience in some abstract way that it's not made up of you and I. Like, we're not an audience. That's just, you know, kind of out there. Like, growth hack, you want a million followers. Like, what is that? That's made up of people like you and me. And I don't know about you. Well, I do know about you. Like, you're a real person. And it's always like weirded me out that there's probably the cliche marketing guy that's talking like, oh, you're talking to this whole audience and they're not real people. It's like they go wide. They sometimes never really go small, or they go small, but it's on you. It's focused on you. And yes, I'm sure that's like a successful marketing tactic. And sure, it works for a certain crowd. But I will say, I don't think it's the right way to go because it doesn't scale well when you're just starting out. Like, you're talking over people. You're missing people's ears rather than when you go small and then wide. Starting my own platform, and I get great engagement because I look at everything like one-to-one. You'll see all of my communication is one-to-one, like I'm writing it to you. Every post on Instagram is like I'm sending it to one person. Every email I write, it's never directed to, hey, everybody, hi, all. Like, I'll never do that. Even if I'm talking in a group, I'm like looking in the faces, I'm making sure I'm connecting with each and every individual. Now, it's nuanced to do that online, and it's nuanced to do that at scale, but there's certain touch points that really matter. And I thought I would share this with you real quick, because rather than make it vague, let's make it specific, why don't we? I already shared the first one, which is through the content that I create. It's not, hey, everybody, hi, all. It's one-to-one, right? I'm always thinking one-to-one. And then whenever I have a direct message with someone, it's always, again, one-to-one. Like, I am so focused on the person I'm talking to, and I can like connect really fast. And it feels like we're friends because, you know what? I think we are. Like, you already have a good idea about me. And I can say, especially with new people I meet, I can have a good idea about you because my personality weeds out jerks. It weeds out people. Like, I don't even pay attention to people that are sneaky or things like that. Like, they just drift away. They don't hang around long. I don't communicate with those people. So I already know that you have values, integrity, you're purpose-driven. Like, you're a good person. And so I talk to you that way, and we can connect faster. Now, I'm not saying about you specifically, but like, if I was talking to somebody and they didn't fit that criteria of what I'm sharing, like, you know, purpose-driven, all that kind of stuff, I just stopped talking. And I've done that. Like, I've talked to someone, I'm like, oh, this person is not who I thought they were. And it's usually because they're trying to sell me something. But yeah, I'm kind of going off on a tangent here. The idea is one-to-one and then go wide. You almost don't even have to worry about ever really going wide if you just focus on one-to-one. And you know who does this the best, which I haven't watched him in a couple of years, but it's The Rock. Remember when The Rock was doing like these viral Instagram videos or something where he was like driving and then there'd be a fan out there waiting. He'd like give them a truck. I don't know if he was sponsored by Ford or something like that. I don't know. He did an amazing job at just talking to that like one person in front of him. And it really humanized The Rock. And it never felt like The Rock was, you know, too cool for school. It felt like he was just a neighbor, just like you and I. And people with way less followers and movies they've starred in act way too cool for school, when in reality, they should just be focused on the person that's in front of them rather than people who aren't even in the room. Right now, it's just you and I. You're in the room, I'm in the room. Honestly, I think that's the key to everything, is like just being present with who's in front of you. I've talked about that before, but it's worth repeating over and over again. And when I think of who's in front of me, I'm thinking of, how can I serve you best? It's usually not by talking about myself, unless what I'm sharing about myself is somehow related to how I feel like I can serve you. And how I think I can serve you best right now is wrapping things up. I hope you have an amazing rest of your day, and I'll catch you in the next episode.